Hebrews chapter 6. So the verse number 17. Hebrews 6, verse number 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise of the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, being high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This passage here is, I was talking about assurance, how we have two immutable things that we can place our faith in, our hope in. That word immutable just means unchangeable, cannot be changed. We have two facts from God that we can place our trust in, is what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. Now, this passage here and all of Hebrews really can be kind of hard to understand at different times. There's a lot of different things to factor in. There's a lot of typology and things in this book. There's a lot of different opinions on Hebrews. If you go to books, most authors have different opinions on what the writer of Hebrews is saying. But I'm going to try to stick with the Bible this morning. Here in this chapter, the writer is talking about the promise of God to Abraham and to his seed and the proofs he has given. But in the verses we just read, 17 through 20, he speaks of the surety of the soul, the assurance of the soul. I'm glad salvation not just for the Jew, but it's also for the lowly Gentile dogs like us. Romans 9:24 says, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So I believe this hope of the soul is mentioned here applies to those that are saved as well, not just for the Jews. Gentiles can be saved too. Thank God for that. The main point I want to focus here this morning is that verse number 19. It says, which hope we have, and is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. This verse here kind of stood out to me. The first phrase there, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. It stood out to me, the anchor of the soul. Now, I know you all here are probably pretty familiar with anchors and what they're used for. Probably have better experience of that than most people do. What is an anchor used for? What is it used on? It's used on a boat or on a ship. The writer didn't put it there by accident. If the soul has an anchor and a ship has an anchor, he relates that, the soul to a ship. What else does the soul and the ship have in common in the Scriptures? Is there anything else in the Bible we can find about the ship being related to a soul? That's what came to my mind. That's what I thought about, what I studied about. I'm going to look at that here this morning, comparing and contrasting the two. See what God might have for us here in the Bible. It's written there for a reason. It wasn't by accident. He really put an anchor in there. It's there for a reason. So what can we learn from that? So Lord, I'm going to preach just a few minutes on who is the captain of your soul. In this verse here, we can get two different doctrines that we can learn from, if you want to call them that. Obviously, number one, the soul of a believer is and can be compared to a ship. And the hope of salvation, the home in heaven, the hope we have of having a home in heaven can be our anchor of our ship or of our soul. I want to point out something here before we get started into this. This is a warning for some here, maybe, even more for those that are not here this morning. There's a lot of men and ladies, for that matter, who care more for their ship this morning than they do for their soul. There are men in this town that are more concerned with being the captain of their ship, and they're about the eternal condition of their soul. Probably maybe some even here this morning. I don't know if there is or not. I hope there's not. There's not many places this message would mean much, but I believe it can mean a lot here in this town. We can relate to having boats and talking about boats in the soul. What about you here this morning? What is more important to you? I'm thankful you are here this morning. It proves to me you do care about your soul at least a little bit. What about those that aren't here? Somebody needs to tell them. Get some more of that tonight and this Saturday, but we will get a little bit more of that later on. But jump in here and try to compare these two and what we can learn from them. Learn about the soul and about the ship. Why does he call the soul? Why does he compare it to a ship? Number one, both the soul and the ship can be rare. A ship today, for the most part, is one of a kind. They're different one from another, and there are some that are made to resemble each other. I understand that. I'm not talking about your Lund skiff at home. Those are all pressed out and riveted together, all look the same. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a ship. They're individual. They're different. A ship usually shows the handiwork of the builder. The soul of a man is very rare, very curious piece of God's work. The body, the face, the brain, how the body functions shows God's amazing handiwork and wisdom. But what is a body without a soul? It's worthless. How rare and how precious is a soul? A body without a soul would be like a jewelry box with no jewelry inside. It may look nice on the outside. The inside is worthless, no value. Our soul gives us value. Our soul is eternal. Our soul is rare. They're all different, all valuable to God, all pieces of God's handiwork. Our soul is rare. God created every one of them. They're rare. They're individual. They're original. They're costly. What's the acronym for a boat? You'll probably know this. Bring out another thousand. You probably know that better than anybody else here, those that own a boat. It's not cheap to own or operate a boat or fishing boat or a ship or any boat for that matter. They're a costly endeavor. You have to be in it for the long haul or you're going to lose your money. The soul of a believer came with a very high cost. God gave away the very best he had to purchase your soul. It says in 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." The songs you just sang about. God paid the highest possible cost to rebuild, refit your soul. You're able to make it through the storm, the ocean storms of this life. Even those that aren't saved here this morning, if there's any here that aren't saved, he's already paid the price for your soul too. He paid it all to him. It says in Romans 5:8, "But God commended his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." He doesn't wait for you to get saved to pay for your soul, to buy your soul. He's already purchased it. I already paid the price for it. The price has been paid for your soul this morning. If you're lost here this morning, he's already bought it. Whether you're saved or not doesn't make a difference. He's already bought it, already paid the price. If you're not saved here this morning, the price has already been paid. Your ticket's already been purchased. You just got to sign the receipt, so to speak. All you do is accept him as your personal savior. Your soul is costly. Everybody in here, your soul is costly. You'll never be able to afford to buy it back. Couldn't if you wanted to. I don't know why you want to. He's already paid the price for you. It's costly. The ship is costly. His soul is costly. Both are profitable, can be, should be profitable. Someone purchases a ship and they refit it and they make it how it needs to be. The captain expects the ship to be profitable in some way to him. For most people, they're in it for the actual income, especially around here, they're in it for the income. Some are just in it for the emotional income. They like being on the water, or their ship or their yacht. Either way, they are in it to get something out of it. People don't buy a boat for nothing. They buy a boat to get something out of it. Fred, correct me if I'm wrong. You didn't go out and buy the Della L and spend your time and your money refurbishing it and refiberglassing it, putting a new engine in it and all that. Just park it at your dock and look at it every morning. Did you not? You probably expected to get something out of the boat. Better get some income out of the boat from fish or logs or whatever. God does not purchase and refit your soul and expect you to sit in the harbor and do nothing. We have a job to do. We are to be bringing in income for the Lord, bringing in souls, bringing honor and glory to the one who's purchased us. I read this verse last Sunday, Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." We have a job to do. We have been purchased. We've been refit. We've been made ready to work. It's time we do some work for a Savior. I don't know about you, but if I owned a boat that was as lousy at bringing in income as I am at bringing in souls and bringing glory to God, I'd probably burn myself at sea. Yet here I am, as lousy and no good as I am, he still cares for me and you. He's paid a price for us. We got to be profitable for him. Boats and souls are both cared for. Most ships of any size, the care of the ship is placed in the hand of someone else. Alaska Marine Line is owned by the state, at least for now, but you don't see Mike Dunleavy out there captaining a boat. It doesn't happen. They carry the ship, it's handed off to somebody else, like Marvin, hand off somebody else. God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, commits the cares of our soul to us. We are employed as stewards to care for our own soul. It's up to us to make, up to us to what choices we make. It's up to us whether we do the job we're assigned to do or not. If Marvin's up there in the wheelhouse and it's up to him to make sure the ferry goes to Bellingham or wherever it's going, now there's others that take shifts and different things, but while he's at the helm of the ship, it's his responsibility to make sure the boat goes where it's supposed to go. The Lord has entrusted us with the helm of our soul. It's up to you whether you put your faith in him or not. It's up to you whether you're steering in the right direction or not. Either you trust him for eternal life or you don't. It's your decision. He's not going to do it for you. He's paid the price for you. But it's your choice how you steer your soul. It's your choice whether you get saved or not this morning. Either you live and glorify him and honor him or you don't. He's entrusted you. It's up to you to steer it the right direction. Young person, I know life seems like all fun and games right now, and it should. You don't need any undue pressure right now. But there will come a time when you're going to be met with the decision you're going to have to make, a hard decision. Either you serve him or you won't. If you come to church to serve him or you won't, you better make sure you're ready to make that choice. Be ready now to make that choice. Go ahead and make it now before the hard part comes. How will you steer your ship? How are you steering it now? How will you steer it when the trouble comes? Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Take heed and keep thy soul. Do it now while you can. Do it now while it's on your mind. How are you going to steer your ship? is cared for, how are you going to care for your soul? Ships and souls, they're freighted, they're carrying things. Ships are weighted down with commodities, sometimes valuable items like pizza sauce and cheese and flour from AML for Papa's Pizza, valuable things. I tell you, if you're saved this morning, your soul is carrying the most precious cargo in this world has ever seen, a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. If you're saved today, you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How are you handling your cargo? You're bringing honor to you, he's taking care of it. Are you bringing glory and honor to him? How are you freighted this morning? Ships need a strong hull. You can have the nicest and fanciest looking ship above water, but if the hull is trashed or has a hole, eventually the entire ship is going to sink and not be worth much anything. Just as important the hull of a ship is, so is the foundation of your heart and your life. You have a good foundation this morning. You're building on good, godly, biblical principles. If your life's not built on him and not firm in him, eventually you are going to sink. No matter how good you look on the outside, are you saved this morning? Does your soul have a foundation to build on? You can dress the boat up all you want to. You can go to church 7 days a week. You can clean up your life, make it look good on the outside. But it's the foundation, it's the hull that makes the difference of the boat. You have a foundation this morning. What is holding your soul together? What's keeping it afloat? Are you saved this morning? Just because you come to church, just because you look good above water does not mean much anything. You can look like the strongest Christian here, but if you're not saved this morning, eventually you're going to sink and you're going to be shipwrecked. You need a strong hull. Ships of days gone by, they needed wind. I know most ships around here, even the sailboats, have diesel engine to push them around. But in days gone by, there were no engines to push your ships around. You know that. The mechanic, Jay, was probably a seamstress, sewing sails back together, Snap-on sold needles and thread. Their ships needed wind. They're going to get anything accomplished. They needed wind to get them moving, wind to get any kind of work done. Wind in the Bible, as you know, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit to move in my life. I need the wind in my life. If he's not moving and working on my heart and cleaning me up, I feel useless. I feel dead. I feel stagnant. There have been times when I haven't felt him working. There's been times when I felt dead and worthless and stagnant. There have been those dry times. I'm thankful when you can feel the wind moving, when you feel God working in the services, working on people's heart. When you see those light bulbs go off in people's heads for the first time, people start getting a burden to do the work for the Lord, get a burden to do something for him. And the Lord starts working on you, on me, about doing more for him. I'm thankful for the wind. This past week, I feel about worthless as a pastor, like I'm not doing nowhere near enough. And the Lord's been burdening me about doing different things and putting different ministry ideas in my head about doing different things. I feel about worthless. I'm thankful for the wind moving and challenging me and pushing me to do more. I'm thankful for the wind. A ship needs a wind. A soul, if it's going to do anything, it needs a wind. It needs the Holy Spirit blowing. A ship often needs repair. Boats need work. There's always something to be done on it. There's always some kind of repairs that needs to be done to the ship, keep it in perfect running condition. So does your soul. Now we know once saved, always saved. Please don't misunderstand me here. We're often faced with trials and temptations. I don't know about you, but I don't always do the right things. I don't always get through those trials and temptations like I should. And many times I have to go before the Lord and pray and confess my sins and get things right, do a little maintenance on my soul. Will that keep me out of heaven? Of course not. Once saved, always saved. Will that keep me from being completely and totally filled with the Spirit and doing the work for God? You better believe it. You better get them right. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I've often had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned. I know I've said what I didn't say, or I didn't say what I was supposed to say at that time. Lord, please forgive me. I'm 100% right in your eyes. Someone said, you got to keep a short list with God. Get things right. Keep yourself clean. If you're going to be used, if a ship is going to do any work, it's going to get anything accomplished, it needs repair. It has to be kept clean. A ship rarely is calm when it's on the water. It's rare for the water to be flat calm. I'm thankful for those flat calm days, especially on the ferry. It does happen from time to time, but it's rare, as I've noticed the past a little bit. It's normal for a ship to be tossed around. It's normal for it to have its ups and downs. A ship is rarely calm and quiet. Turn to Psalms 107 with me real quick, if you would. Psalms 107. It says in Psalms 107, verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. And they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. So it is with the soul. We all experience the troubles and trials of life. We all go through ups and downs. Feel like we're headed up towards heaven, then the waves again down deep into the depths. If you're in a valley now, if you're not in a valley now, probably because you just came out of one, or you're about to go back into one. I know it's not very encouraging. I'm not supposed to say that, but that's the truth. That's life. Unfortunately, that's life. That's the world we live in. God never promised the Christian life was going to be easy. He never promised it'd all be roses and buttercups. He says it's going to be trouble, and going to be trials, going to be battles. If you're going through a trial or a battle, you can rest assured you're not alone. It's rare for a ship and a soul to be calm. It's rare for those calm times. Thank God for those storming times. That's when you can learn to trust him. That's when you can learn to count on him. A ship is rarely calm in the sea. A ship is often, almost always, in danger. If a ship is not properly cared for and doesn't have a good captain, it's in danger, almost constant danger of sinking or running into something. Anytime it could run aground, at any time it could spring a leak and sink and be gone. A ship that's sailing around without the proper captain is always in danger. Same goes for a soul. If you're not saved here this morning, you're constantly in danger all the time. You could at any time run aground, if you want to call it that. You could at any time be gone out of here, car accident. I don't know what could happen. Anything could happen. You're not promised tomorrow. Most teenagers think they're invincible. I did when I was a teenager. We all know that's not the case. You prepared for the storm this morning. You prepared for the storm. You have the right captain. Is your soul being handled properly? Soul is in danger. Without the right captain, your soul is always in danger. A ship needs a compass. So is a soul. Nowadays, we use GPS and digital charts and different things. But in days gone by, they use compasses and maybe charts if they had them. Many times, there would be no charts available. That's where we get our phrase, uncharted territory. We know that. Christopher Columbus didn't use a chart to find America. Nobody's ever been here before. He used a compass. He used a compass pointing the right direction. West, that's where he was headed. One thing about compasses, they always point up, always point north. We have a compass for our soul today, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We have a compass to point in the right direction. I can promise you it's always going to point up, always going to point to the Lord and heaven. I'm so glad God doesn't throw us in the sea and say, good luck. He's giving us tools to use to head in the right direction, giving us a compass to follow to keep us in the right direction. Are you using your compass this morning? Who's guiding your ship? Is it your flesh that's guiding your ship? Your flesh might say, well, I think this port is the right way. I think this is the way to the port. Is it your friends this morning? Young people, is your friends guiding you? Come on, just come with us. We'll find the port eventually. Is it your job that's guiding you? You come to this port and don't worry about the rest of them. You stay here. What's guiding you today? What compass is guiding your life? What compass is guiding your soul this morning? We have a compass with the Word of God and Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. A ship and a soul can be shipwrecked. We've all seen pictures or stories of someone being shipwrecked. We've seen a picture like that around here. I don't like to hear it or talk about it, but I've also heard many stories of people making shipwreck with their souls. If you choose not to accept Christ as your Savior of your soul, you can be sure the shipwreck is coming your way. You will have an end. Shipwreck is coming. It's not a joke. It's not fun and games. It's a real thing. If you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will one day. You will spend eternity in the lakes of fire and in hell. That's what's coming if you're not saved this morning. Shipwreck is coming if you don't have the right captain. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, holding faith and good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. It's a dangerous thing this morning. Shipwreck is coming if you don't have the right captain. Young people, y'all listening to me this morning. Shipwreck's coming if you don't have the right captain, the right one leading you in the right direction. Are you saved this morning? Who's your captain? Next point, a ship needs a good captain. You got the nicest ship in the harbor, but the one leading and guiding the ship doesn't know what he's doing. It won't be long until that ship is beat up and scratched and maybe even shipwrecked, like we just mentioned. I'm thankful we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. I'm thankful he's a good captain. He has paid the price for the ship. The least you can do is let him sail it every now and then. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. Give him the helm and let him lead you in the right way. Who's your captain this morning, church? What is your compass? Who is your captain? Who's leading your life? Who are you following in your life? There's some very important differences as well. I said compare and contrast. Important differences this morning between the two as well. Number one difference is the ship can be destroyed. If a ship is shipwrecked, if it sinks to the bottom of the bay, it's gone, it's done. A ship can get to the point where it's unrepairable. not worth repairing. A thankless one of the soul will never completely be gone. Your soul is eternal. Somehow I've decided your soul is only going to last for this life and you're done. Couldn't be further from the truth. Your soul is eternal. Your soul is everlasting. Your body will die here on earth unless the Lord comes first. Unless the Lord comes first, you will die on earth. Your soul will either go to heaven or spend eternity or go to hell and spend eternity. It's up to you which one you choose. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body are not able to kill the soul, rather fear them which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The choice is yours, heaven or hell. When right or wrong, it's your choice. A ship can be destroyed. Soul will be eternal. A ship, even with the best captain, a ship can sink. Even the best captain on earth, sooner or later, is going to make a mistake. Hopefully for the people on board, it's a small mistake. It's going to happen at one point or another. A captain will, at some point or another, make a mistake. It's human. It's going to happen. You probably heard the story of the crew member aboard the Titanic that said, God himself could not sink the ship. We all know what happened there. The best captain, the best ship in the world, we all have a chance of sinking. I'm glad there's a Lord. The Lord is the captain of your soul this morning. I'm glad if he is the captain of your soul this morning. If you have been saved this morning, there's not an iceberg in the world that can sink your ship. Psalms 107:28, you should still be there, verse number 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into their desired haven. This is in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'm glad this morning that no matter how rough the storm may be, he can calm it. I'm glad no matter how rough the enemy may be, we are safe in the arms of the Lord. No man can pluck us out of his hands. If you're safe this morning, you're safe, taken care of. It may not look like it. We're talking about that in Sunday school. It may not look like it's going to be okay. We're safe in the hands of the Lord. Nobody can pluck us out of his hand. You have that assurance this morning. Are you safe in the hands of the Lord? Are you safe in the arms of the Lord? Who's your captain of your soul? What compass are you using to get through this life? Are you sailing in danger of sinking? I invite you this morning to get it settled. Young people, I invite you this morning to get it settled. Y'all listen to me. Get it right. Heads bowed, eyes closed if you would. Get somebody to play piano, anybody. Anybody here this morning, you say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know where I'd go." Is anybody here in danger of shipwreck this morning? If you died right now, do you know where you go? If you don't know that this morning, would you raise your hand? I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name or point you out. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that here this morning? Who's the captain of your soul? Maybe this morning you are saved. You have that assurance. Maybe you ain't been heading the right direction here lately. Once you get things right, get head the right direction again, get to work for him. Maybe your ship's not been very profitable here lately. Once you get things right this morning, give it over him. Give him the helm. Give him control. Let him use you. Let him use this church. Let us start with you. We prayed and prayed for revival, and we have good services, but now's not the time to get complacent and give up. Now's the time to get to work. How's your ship this morning? Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for these people here. Lord, I pray any lost with us this morning, I pray they get it right before it's too late. Lord, I pray you save them, Lord, convict them and pull them. Lord, I pray you use us here, use this church. Lord, use me. And Lord, I pray you continue to challenge us and convict us to do more for you. In Jesus' name.